At Jared, we know devotion isn't a once-a-year occasion. And once the flowers have wilted and the chocolates have disappeared, you'll still want them to know how much you care. Dare to give a gift that lasts this Valentine's Day with our incredible selection of jewelry. From delicate rose gold to bold black diamonds, Jared has hundreds of pieces under $299 and exclusive collections you won't find anywhere else. Shop online or find a store near you at jared.com and dare to be devoted.
Long Talk Radio.
Once again, my name is Brian Anthony Davis.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my
home. We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle.
Hey,
so he can play football.
Coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Pittsburgh Steelers fans, and welcome once again to the one and only fan interactive show that talks about the hangover the Steelers are suffering even in the off season. It's Behind the Steel Curtain presents the Steelers Hangover with Brian Anthony Davis. That's me and my good friend Anthony DeFeo, also from Behind the Steel Curtain. Tony, how are you this evening, my friend?
Good evening, Brian. I am doing really well. Happy Monday, as always, and I'm looking forward to another great show with you.
You know what? We are about 3 hours apart. Me being in the old line state of Maryland, you being in the Keystone state, the great state of Pennsylvania. What's going on in Western PA weather-wise tonight as we record this on a Monday?
It is about 40 degrees and it's, you know, a little bit of rain. Nothing too crazy. It was a little worse this morning than it is now.
Well, let's just put it this way. If there's not a two-hour delay tomorrow, there's just going to be a cancellation because in the great state of Maryland right now, it is what we call an old-fashioned crushing. With sleet, rain, and snow, it is rough out there. I just came off the roads. So I hope wherever you are and listening to this that you are somewhere safe and warm and enjoying talking about football even in the off season. So the Pittsburgh Steelers are not playing. They were not in the postseason whatsoever. Some Pittsburgh Steelers, former Pittsburgh Steelers, played over the weekend in a new league called the Alliance of American Football. And so, Tony, did you get a chance to watch any football over the weekend?
It's a funny story. I was going to watch it on Saturday, and then for some reason I said, I still want to mourn the end of the NFL season, so I didn't watch. But I did watch some highlights, and I was kind of impressed. I'm not going to lie, especially with the defense. I was impressed with the hitting and how people were excited about that. Imagine that. I mean, we're all talking about trying to make the game less violent, and there were a lot of good hits. And it was, for some reason, it was really nice to see.
You know, for me, Tony, one of the big things, it would be easy to go ahead and poo-poo this league and say that, you know, this is just a joke. But it really, to me, it's not. You have guys out there playing to get back into the league, playing for a second chance. We have a former Steeler that played that was pretty much, I don't know if they have players of the week, but I was reading if you named a defensive player of the week, it was going to be Terrence Garvin.
Yes.
I believe he had two sacks. He had a lot of tackles. He was just playing for the Birmingham Iron, which is almost fitting, and the West Virginia product that played for a good 3 or 4 years at inside linebacker and special teams for the Steelers, you know, one is going to open the eyes of all general managers across the league, but the first team to open their eyes might be the team that that knows them well and that he played for. I mean, that could be a possibility when you're looking for inside linebackers. So let's do an over-under here. And we usually do fact or fiction, but we're going to do an over-under here. I'm going to say, let's say 10 being the number. 10 players from the Alliance of American Football making rosters and making 53-man rosters come September. Would you say that would be the over or the under?
10 being the high number?
Yeah.
I'd say, yeah, that's a very good possibility. I think especially quarterback. I think that's one thing that I would like about this league is it gives potentially backup quarterbacks a chance to develop. Because that's one thing backup quarterbacks don't get to do in the NFL is truly develop with live bullets during a game. Because they're all, you know, they only get to play in the preseason and they get to practice. That's it. Other players get to, even the backups get to play in games like linebacker, running back, you name it, but quarterbacks never get to play. And I think some quarterbacks might be able to really open some eyes in the NFL this offseason. So, yeah, I think it's definitely a very good chance. I'm definitely going with the over.
I was watching the game with the San Antonio Commanders and the San Diego Fleet, and I was really interested in a team like the San Diego Fleet just because, one, I like their uniforms. I like San Diego. Mike Martz, who is the head coach, just intrigues me completely. And I tell you what, San Antonio had a very good quarterback, Logan Woodside. If I'm not mistaken, why am I thinking maybe not the University of Cincinnati? That was the receiver that I wanted to talk about. But Logan Woodside was very good. But they have a receiver. McKay is his name, and I should have been a little bit more prepared with this guy's name, but I'm telling you, he is a big guy. He is going to be on an NFL roster next year, and if you're looking for a large receiver with good hands, you know, this is your guy. His name is Mekale, M-E-K-A-L-E, so Mekale McKay, from the University of Cincinnati. The guy is 6'3", 206 pounds, and he was pretty impressive. Now, Woodside is out of the University of Toledo. I remember his name from the past couple years as being a possibility. I think he was drafted by the Bengals. That's why I had the Cincinnati on my mind. But also, he was not supposed to be the opening quarterback for them. The guy who was supposed to have the job was a guy by the name of Dustin Vaughn, a 6'5 quarterback from West Texas A&M. Have you ever heard that name before?
Wasn't he? I want to say he played for the Steelers in preseason, or am I thinking of somebody
else?
Yes. Yes.
Exactly.
I thought so. Yeah,
I believe it was either in 16 or 17, he was the fourth quarterback brought in. And they really liked him. They really liked what he was doing. And he got a lot of kudos from the team. It was just the situation where he was the number four guy. And he was just not getting a spot on the roster because I believe that might have been the same year that they picked up, I'm blanking.
Mettenberger.
They picked up Mettenberger, who is in this league. Mettenberger's getting another chance. So, you know, as far as everything goes, these guys can play their way onto rosters. I love the fact, and this is not an AAF podcast. This is a Steeler podcast, but some Steelers had a really good go. One of their players, that was a late cut last year, and I had it written down, and I lost my notes here, but here's a guy that had an interception over the weekend, and I'm going to have to pull up his name, but DeMarcus Ayers is in this league. Former punter Brad Wing is in this league. So there's a lot of guys to look out for. There's a couple things that I like that they do. If you look at, I'm taking a look at San Antonio's roster right now. If you just look at their roster, of course, they play in Texas. We've got a quarterback from West Texas A&M. We've got a guy from Houston, Texas Christian, Texas A&M, Texas San Antonio, Texas Christian, that's six. Nebraska, that's in that area, seven. Houston, eight. Texas A&M, Kingsville, nine. A&M, 10. Another TCU, 11. Baylor, Southern Methodist, Baylor, that's 14 players. On the offense alone, 14 players from that region. If you go ahead and look at the Birmingham Iron, tons of Alabama, tons of Troy State, tons of Auburn. That's what they're doing there. Atlanta, you've got the Georgia players, the Georgia Tech players, the guys around that area. San Diego, you have the California guys. Salt Lake, you've got Midwest guys. It goes on and on for the A teams that are there. Orlando is a lot of your Florida guys, and Orlando is coached by Steve Spurrier. So big names in here, big chances for these guys. But here's what I love about it. And as Steelers fans, you got to love the spectacle they made from the first game when director of player personnel, a man named Hines Ward, I've heard of this guy before. I just can't place why I know that name, but it's a pretty big name. And then there's another guy named
Dancing with the Stars.
What's that?
He won Dancing with the Stars one year. That's what it was. Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, he wore the number 86 in Pittsburgh. Somebody told me that. Now another guy that wore the exact half of his uniform, the number 43, was this guy, this long-haired fella that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he was villager number two in the movie Moana. His name was Troy Polamalu, I believe. And so not to be mistaken with the former son-in-law of Jimmy Superfly Snuka, which was Brandon Polamalu. I mean, maybe they're related. I don't know. They are both from Oregon, so it could be. But with that being said, no. Troy and Hines are involved in it. Charlie Ebersol, son of Dick Ebersol, is involved with this outfit. And, you know, Dick, of course, famous for being the chairman of NBC Sports. He was the one who brought us the XFL years ago with Vince McMahon, and that is coming back. It's going to be a lot more serious. This could be a great feeder for the NFL. But what they're doing with the roles, to me, is fantastic. Now, look, they can't lose by experimenting here. And it's something that the NFL could go ahead and pick up. Tony, I'm sure you know some of the roles. Or do you know of any off the top of your head?
Yeah, I find most intriguing, and I don't think they could ever do this in the NFL, is first of all, there's no kickoff. And there's no extra points, but I guess they're going to try have like a 4th-and-12 from the 28 in lieu of an onside kick, which I think is pretty intriguing. But then again, it's also, I think the percentages are too in favor of the team going for 4th-and-12. I think that's because the onside kick's such a low percentage. I think you're really putting the team that's ahead at a real disadvantage. But I do find that rule intriguing. I like that a lot. And I think it's kind of funny. That,
I like 4th-and-18 better.
4th-and-18 or maybe even 4th-and-longer. But, yeah, I do like that. I do like that. I think that's pretty neat.
So that's a great role. There's a ninth official called the Sky Judge. And that's great. And you could overturn an egregious penalty. So you could overturn a pass interference or call a pass. They can even call a pass interference that isn't called, which, as we saw with the Steelers this year, as we, especially in New Orleans, as we saw with the New Orleans Saints completely, who I feel got robbed out of the Super Bowl. I think we all got robbed. I don't think Drew Brees is going to melt in that moment against a team like Los Angeles and Jared Goff. Those guys, you know, I think they were Sean Payton and Drew Brees would have really trumped what we got with Goff and McVay. And I'm not saying that they're terrible. They're going to have plenty of opportunities. They're going to be back again. But I still think that moment was too big for them, and we agreed on that last week.
Yes.
Here's the big thing that I love. So the biggest thing to come out of this weekend, something that the NFL, if they don't adopt this, they're going to be crazy. And CBS is the one who really did it. It really wasn't the league that did it. So when they were throwing the red flag or whatever they do in this league, and they're looking at overturning a call, Tony, what they did, they mic'd the judge in the box, the replay official. They mic'd them up. And the first one was a woman, and the one I saw was a guy in the second game. But this was the first game, I believe it was Orlando and Atlanta. And she's up there, and she's like, okay, the ball didn't touch the ground there. Looks like he had possession. At first, I didn't think this was going to be, but now I'm going to go ahead, and I'm not going to overturn this. And then I'm watching one the opposite where they're like, okay, there you can see it right there. Let me look here. Okay, yeah, this is definitely it. So I'm going to go ahead and overturn this call. And I'm watching, and I'm like, wow, that is great. I mean, that was a part of CBS. And it's not like where Fox brings in Mike Pereira and a former official guy goes, I would do this. And then how many times do we watch that, Tony, and what happened to the opposite?
Exactly. Yeah, I like it. That's a pretty neat concept.
You see the person making the decision, make the decision. And if you don't agree with it, at least you know what they're looking at and what they're seeing. Instead of just having Tony Romo guess, instead of having anybody guess. You know, I mean, we see, especially in Steeler games, man, we watch Steeler games and they're going, oh, this is definitely going to go the Steelers' favorite. It's never done. And you're like,
right,
what's going on here?
Yeah.
But I know we spent a lot of time on the AAF. We can't live on Penguins alone right now. If you love football, you want to watch it, there's got to be names you recognize. There's names that you're going to know in the future. You don't know them now, but you will know these names. And if we've learned anything from the XFL, the Pittsburgh Steelers made check that out. They made a signing in 2001. The XFL MVP won Thomas Maddox. And that guy gave us some good years. And just they didn't go to the Super Bowl. They lost in the playoffs in 2002. But that was one of my favorite Steeler years because it was an exciting year watching Tommy Gunn give us what we hadn't seen in years. Would you agree with that? Fact or fiction, Tommy Maddox really gave us a spectacular, although a non-winning season, just a fantastic show in 2002.
Oh, that was fact. That season was headed down the tubes pretty fast, 0-2, and then Bill Cowher inserted him in the third game against Cleveland, and they won in overtime. And then next thing you know, it's nothing but passes the rest of the year. And that great win against the Browns in the wild card game, it was a excellent season. I loved that season. I just watched that game on YouTube, the Browns game, not that long ago. It's just one of my favorite seasons. I agree with you. Fact.
I did a Throwback Thursday on that last year, and it was so fun. Because when I did those Throwback Thursdays, I would watch every single one of those games. Just fantastic. And I'm going to give a plug out there for McMillanandawife.com. If you ever look at that,
site.
Almost any game, that's I watched every single game before I wrote about it, and it was like jumping in a time machine, and that's one of the games I watched. And I even watched the a couple from the Tommy Maddox season. I watched the one when Cordell struggled so bad and got benched in week three, and they were like 2 minutes left. They were down by two scores, and here comes Tommy Maddox, and they win the game. And that was the beginning of the era. So whoever runs McMillan and Weiss, I want to just say thank you. I think you're fantastic. Keep doing what
Great
you do.
Resource.
I don't know how you do what you do. But but for a Steeler fan to just go back in time and lose 2 hours, you know, because they're cutting out most of the commercials. The Denver game in 1984, the playoff
yes.
game, December 30th, 1984, another one of my favorites. I just sat there, and it was just amazing to watch. And you'll even notice things you don't remember. Gary Anderson missed two kicks in that game. But when it came down to it, I mean – that was his all-pro year. But they were fine in that game, but it was so fun. That stuff is so fun for me. You know, I invite you to watch that. So hats off to – you guys are – at McMillan and White are MVPs to me, and I love what you do. With that being said, a question I was going to ask you, and it seems like this show we kind of – it's the off season, so it's fun to get off course, and we can. We are going to talk about the 2019 Steelers. We just talked about that 2002 team with Tommy Maddox. Name some other seasons that they didn't win the Super Bowl that you just loved, that they I – mean, there's just a special place in your heart for. I'm going to jump in with one. I just alluded to it. 1984 is one of my favorite all-time seasons, especially one of my favorite years because I love the music. I was 12, and remember the movie Stand By Me? That movie came out a year later, but they said, you never forget your 12-year-old summer, and I'll never forget my 12-year-old summer. That was my coming of age, it felt. And so, but I remember 1984. It started out in July or August with Franco Who? And
that's right. Yeah.
And the entire season started off with David Woodley at quarterback, and it ended with the resurgence of John Stallworth. You had Louis Lips come into play as a rookie. Mark Malone came in and won some games for that team. That was just a very special year for me. So I love that season. And also, I'll never forget, and I did a Throwback Thursday on this one. I'll never forget where I was. I wasn't watching the fifth game of the World Series with the Tigers and the Padres. I was watching the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the undefeated San Francisco 49ers, who ended up that year 15-1, and then another three more to go 18-1 and win the whole shebang. So lots of great memories from that. Give me a season like that you just will never forget, one that did not end with a Lombardi.
It's funny you said 84. 84 was a big one for me. I remember that too. We were the same age, and that was a great year.
Yeah,
that was one of my idols. Yeah, and I still can't believe to this day that they beat the Broncos. I mean, that was just amazing. But if I had to pick one year that didn't end in the Lombardi, it would have to be 1995. I just, to me, it was a dream come true that they finally got over the hump and made it to the Super Bowl. They didn't win, obviously. Everybody mourns that loss to the Cowboys. O'Donnell's two interceptions and everything, but the fact that they rebounded from a 3-4 start after the way the previous year ended in the AFC Championship game, that loss to the Chargers was excruciating. But the fact that they came back, you know, Cordell was a fan favorite at that time. He's a rookie, and, you know, he was flash and everything. And that they made it that far. And you know, as a little kid growing up in the 80s, watching all those NFL Films highlights of the Steelers of the 70s, I always thought, am I ever going to see it? Am I ever going to see it? And I'm a big Pirates fan, and they came so close to making a World Series in the early 90s, and they lost year after year after year in the playoffs. And I just thought, I'm never going to see it. I'm never going to see it. And then, you know, that AFC Championship game against the Colts at Three River Stadium, and the Hail Mary by Jim Harbaugh, that, you know, when I think Phil Simms said he caught it, you know, at the end. And I thought, oh, my God, here we go again, another heartbreaker. And then, you know, it was, you know, they said incomplete. That was just those 2 weeks leading up to that game in Phoenix, Super Bowl 30. It was like, it's like one of the best times of my life, just anticipating that game and watching that game up until that second interception by O'Donnell in the fourth quarter. It's one of my favorite times as a sports fan. So if I had to pick one, it would be that year, 1995. It was just a great year and just magical. It, to me, I'll never forget it as long as I live.
That's one of my favorite NFL highlights of Super Bowls. Even though they lost that game, I love watching Bill Cowher in that, because he has a couple funny lines in it. He has some poignant, beautiful lines. Let me do the beautiful line at the end when the late Kay Cowher, may she rest in peace, comes down and says that Bill will see you in the locker room, and he's with his daughter, and she whispers something to him, he whispers something to her, and then you hear him say, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Hold him back.
Yes.
And then
yeah.
And there's then someone yells down to him something like, we love you, Bill. And then he just fist
yep.
bumps and walks. I mean, not fist bumps, but air fist and runs into the locker room. And you're just like, that's my dude right there. You're just
mm-hmm.
loving it. But there's some fun. I'll never forget between quarters they're playing an Eagles song, Get Over It. I just remember that.
yeah, I remember that, yeah.
You remember that, so yeah. And then, like, he's doing that squat on the sidelines too, but he does something great. You hear him go, Chan, because Chan was he wasn't the special teams guy, but he was the offensive coordinator at the time, or he might have been either wide receivers coach, or he wasn't offensive coordinator because that was Ron Earhart.
He was the factor at that time.
Yeah, so he was still wide receiver coach, but I guess he was calling plays. You hear him go, Chan,
right.
Chan. Surprise on side. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise on side. And they go do it. And when Norm Johnson hits that ball, perfect. And then he goes over to the, I don't know whether it's the side judge or the referee or something. He goes, great call, huh?
Yeah.
Great call, coach. Yeah, that was a great call, wasn't it? You're like, oh, I love you, man.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
I can watch that over and over. I turn it off when they do the Jerry Jones and Barry Switzer does the "We Did It" chant. I turn that down. But I actually that Super Bowl has a place in my heart, and a lot of people think I'm crazy, and I'm the guy that gets mad when anybody says that Neil O'Donnell threw that game. You don't throw a Super Bowl. You don't. You make so much more money in endorsements. You make so much. There's no way. First of all,
absolutely.
Corey, I
agree.
Corey Holiday ran the wrong route. Maybe that game was too big for him, but it wasn't Jared Goff too big for him. All I know is that guy, testically the third best quarterback in Steeler history right now.
Yeah.
And look it up. I mean, he was very good for that team. But I digress. Let's talk about the 2019 Pittsburgh Steelers. And you and I, we've been doing this for a while. I've been doing podcasts with Jeff, now Jeff and Dave Schofield. We've been doing it for a while. And in fact, your fiction was Zach Parnes a couple of years ago. And there's one thing that's universal that we've always talked about, especially in the Ben Roethlisberger era. It's the closing window. We talk about that all the time, don't we, Doug?
It seems like for the last 5 or 6 years we've been talking about that, about how the window's closing. He has only a couple of years left, and we've been talking about that for, it seems like forever, yeah. But it might be, you know, it might be true this year.
And
when I get,
that's what
go ahead.
That's what I want to ask you. You know, I feel like with Le'Veon Bell going, but the possibility of James Conner and adding another back there, whether it be Jalen Samuels in a two-back type offense, because we saw it before in the season that we just talked about ad nauseum, the 1995 season. Who did we lose after the 1994 season?
Who did we lose? Oh, my gosh. I can't remember. You're talking about on offense?
Yeah.
Lost the star. Oh, yeah, Barry Foster. Barry Foster, yeah. Number 20, the guy who...
You know, we're going with Eric Pegram. I mean, a capable back, had an all-pro season. Ben Morris, a second-year back. Never going to be a superstar, but still special enough. As a platoon, they didn't have over 1,000 yards on their own, but combined they were a pretty darn good back. And this was a conversation we had the other night on the Steeler preview with Jeff, Dave, and I. And they're like, you know, would tight end signing be a need or a luxury? And Jeff was at first thinking it would be a need. I'm like, Jeff, guys, think about this. You combine Jesse James with Vance McDonald, and you have a Travis Kelce type player. 80 receptions and 1,020 yards.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they had when they combined those two running backs in 1995. So I thought that was the loss of Le'Veon Bell could be countered. Now you make it looks like the loss of Le'Veon Bell, and it looks like the possibility of the loss of Antonio Brown, because we never know which way the wind's blowing in that, but the accusations of the police report with a shove is serious. And that could change the winds in a few ways. I mean, maybe it changes the winds back to the Steelers, but do the Steelers even want him at that point? So will other teams want him? You just don't know what's going to happen at this point. He's going to play football again. I'm not so sure if I don't even know if Le'Veon Bell plays again at this point. And I know that's a bold statement, but the reason I'm saying that is because if they transition tag him, which they could, he might just up and retire. Because what he did not bank on, and I don't think any of us really, really banked on, we could say, oh, yeah, I knew this was going to happen, but come on, we didn't, because we weren't talking about this in October or November when we were talking about Bell all the time. The fact that, I mean, we knew it was a possibility, but instead of 14-5, because he didn't play, he could be really worth $9.5, $10 million right now. He could have cost himself so much money that he just says, okay, it's not, I mean, he takes his pride and his ball and goes home. That's really what could happen. So with that being said, you know what? Let's have fun with this one. Tony, fact or fiction, Le'Veon Bell never plays football again in the National Football League. Fact or fiction?
I'm going to say fiction, because I think it just takes one team, as we've said many times, it takes one team to fork up some cash. But if he thinks he's going to get Todd Gurley money at this point, I don't think so. I don't think it's going to happen, because Todd Gurley might not even see the end of his contract, you know, after what happened in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl with C.J. Anderson coming off the street and in many cases being being the starter for the Rams. So, you know, I think, you know, he will play football again, but it might be he might have to swallow some pride and take a little bit less than he thought he was worth. He might not be able to get $15 million a year. I definitely think that's definitely a possibility. He'll have to settle for less than that.
Did Todd Gurley screw things up for Le'Veon Bell, or did he make him better? I'm not going to make this a fact or fiction. I don't know. I've been wrestling with this one. Did Todd Gurley's performance hurt the running back, the future running back position in the Super Bowl. And with that being said, did he hurt Le'Veon Bell's position?
I think it absolutely hurt him because, and not really Todd Gurley, C.J. Anderson. C.J. Anderson coming off, again, off the street, off his couch and coming in and playing really well postseason. I think that and if you factor in with other running backs, like a Jalen Samuels or, what they've been able to do, it's more about the offensive line, I think, but running backs, and it is about the actual running back. And I'm not taking anything away from Bell. He's obviously a great talent, but when so many other running backs prove that they can be replaced, and you saw it with the Chiefs after Kareem Hunt was cut. They were able to carry on. So I think Todd Gurley definitely hurt Le'Veon Bell down the stretch, for sure.
Yeah, I really think he hurt a lot of people as far as running backs go. He set that position back because we were already talking about how that position is not as important as it once was back in the Franco days, back in the Barry Sander days, back in the Barry Foster days. Those guys carry the mail, and now it's you don't set up with a run as much as you did. I mean, it's still an important position. They're all important positions. But I think you and I had this discussion back about 5-6 months ago in season when we ranked running back on the offense, just on the offensive side of the ball, as number 4 when we said quarterback, wide receiver, offensive lineman. I believe, if I recall that conversation, do you recall that conversation?
Oh, yeah, we talked about Bell a lot. I think we definitely. I mean, it's like some executive, some NFL executive was quoted anonymously on Twitter, and he said, you pay the quarterback, you pay the receiver, you pay the guy that covers the receiver, you pay the left tackle, and then maybe you pay the running back. And he's in other words, he's really far down the list. It's not that they're not important. It's just that you can find guys that can do the job, a lot lower than you could years ago when you had to draft a guy in the top 5 or the top 10, like a Barry Sanders in 1989. He was like the second or third guy picked in the draft. You're not going to see that anymore, most likely. So, yeah, I think definitely a running back is not as the premium on a running back isn't as high as it was even 10 years ago in the NFL, for sure.
You know what? I'm probably not supposed to do this, but we're a podcast and we're not a radio station, so I have no problem giving credit to another show, a group of guys here. I enjoy Colin Dunlap and Chris Mack and the and Jim Colony on 93.7.
Oh yeah, me too.
In the morning, I listen to those guys a lot, and they were talking this morning, and I stole that Bell question from you because Colin was basically saying that he doesn't really think he's going to play again because he's not going to want the money, and he thinks he's done. He thinks with all the weight he gained that he will, and all the time off, because the guy has not played a down of football since January of 2018, early January of 2018. So I was thinking about that. So I wanted to get your perspective on that. So let's fact or fiction this. Le'Veon Bell will never have the same success that he had before he held out. Fact or fiction?
Well, I think that's a fact because, first of all, like I just said, with running back, it's about the offensive line, I think. And his running style is so unique that, he's going to need an offensive line that he has great chemistry with. And obviously the Steelers offensive line knows his, you know, his style very well. At least they did. And you know, it's going to be hard to go to another team and have that kind of style and be successful. Plus, you know, he's what, 27? He'll be 27 in a couple of days. So that's pretty old for a running back. I don't care if you hold out for a year or not. It's hard to get your legs back after being off, you know, when you're in your late 20s as a running back. So he might get the money he wants, but as far as the success, no, I don't think he's going to ever have the kind of production he had between, what, 2014 and 2016, when he was just absolutely incredible. He's never going to do that again. There's just absolutely no way.
Well, here's one team that is definitely not going to give him the money he wants, that they're completely off the table now. It's the Cleveland Browns signing Kareem Hunt today, which kind of came out of nowhere for a lot of people. I thought it was a huge surprise. In fact, I even saw it on the internet being listed as a great shocker that they went out and picked him up. Does this, Tony, does this help close the window even more on the Steelers? And does this turn the Browns into a favorite now?
I have to say yes. I mean, I was shocked. I was as shocked as anybody else because, first of all, they had Nick Chubb. They have Carlos Hyde. You wouldn't think they would need. Yeah. You wouldn't think they would need a.
Right?
I'm not sure about that, but I know Nick Chubb's a rookie, so.
Yeah, he's in Jacksonville. Carlos Hyde's in
Jacksonville. Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, but. What's that?
They still have Duke Johnson.
Yeah, and he's a good talent. So, but still, I mean, Kareem Hunt's pretty unique. So, does it make the Steelers window? Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, I think it all depends on Baker Mayfield. Regardless of who the running back is in Cleveland, you definitely, you know, it's all about the quarterback. And so, you know, as of right now, Big Ben is still the best quarterback in the AFC North. So it all depends on how well Baker Mayfield makes the jump from the first to the second year. And that's always, you know, very important in the NFL, you know, the first, second year jump. So that's the more important thing is Baker Mayfield, but it definitely doesn't help. I know that having a talent like Kareem Hunt that you have to deal with twice a year, that certainly doesn't help the Steelers cause for 2019. I'll definitely say that.
I agree with you on that. I think things are going to be very interesting now. There's talk that the Baltimore Ravens might be interested in bringing in a guy like Le'Veon Bell, which a lot of people from Baltimore are actually saying no. You know, we don't do that. But they're actually seeing the writing on the wall. So it's going to be very interesting. We just mentioned a guy like Duke Johnson Jr., and I got to tell you, I think he's expendable now for the Browns. He would be a perfect pickup for the Pittsburgh Steelers. One, he's a class act. I thought he was just a class act with the whole Ryan Shazier thing, the way he the way he would salute him and support him. But I just think that he's the kind of player with his receiving skills, with his running skills, that would complement. We just talked about Pegram and Morris. I think a Duke Johnson-James Conner combo could actually be pretty dangerous. And if they're coached right, which, you know, you have the right offensive coaches there, I think that could be very potent. So I would actually think that that is something that would be more likely than not to happen. So it's funny. I play trivia. And on a team, I just came from a trivia game that just ended about an hour ago. And one of the things we do, we joke, we call something a hot pocket. When we hear the category, you try to guess what the answer is going to be based on the category. And every once in a while, something comes to you, and it's called a hot pocket because we once did that with the answer was hot pocket. So we kind of do it. So I'm in a hot pocket. Duke Johnson Jr. to be a Pittsburgh Steeler this year, even though he still belongs to the Cleveland Browns, I think that's going to happen. But with all this being said, Tony, everything we've discussed here with the fact that and we didn't go too much with Antonio Brown this week. We don't need to.
Right.
Because everything with Antonio Brown just depends on his mood at the time that he opens his mouth. really, I've seen seesaws left back and forth in Antonio Brown. But with that being said, I just don't think I think this is the end of the road. I think that window goes shut. So I'm going to ask you, can that window be reopened, or has it just been slammed shut because of these personnel moves that were forced upon this team?
No, I don't think it's shut yet. Not as long as you have Big Ben. I think that's the one thing that people you can take solace in. As long as you have the quarterback, you always have a chance. I think that's one thing people have to remember is, you know, you have a great offensive line still there. You don't have the coach anymore, but you have the line and you have the quarterback. And I think if you have those two entities, first of all, you're still going to have a running game because they proved last year they can do the job with James Conner, with Jalen Samuels. Now, you know, are you going to be able to do it without Antonio Brown? You have Juju now, so he's at least going to be a pretty good number one receiver. Can he be a great number one receiver? I guess we'll find out. You know, let's remember, he did win a Super Bowl with Antoine Randle-L and Hines Ward, who is obviously a great receiver, and Cedric Wilson. So, I mean, you know, you don't need necessarily an Antonio Brown to win a Super Bowl. So, you know, I think, you know, it doesn't help everything, you know, that's gone on with AB and with you know, Le'Veon Bell leaving. But as long as you have Big Ben, you have a chance. That's one thing. That's the one ingredient you need in the NFL to win a Super Bowl is a quarterback of his stature. And they still have that. And he's still relatively young. So, yeah, I don't think it's closed, but it's not great, but I think there's still hope.
Let me ask you this, fact or fiction. Tony, thanks the heavens that I do not hang out with him personally because I always put him on the spot. Is that fact or fiction?
I like being put on the spot. I'm going to say fiction.
Good, because I've got a new game. We're going to call it Tony on the Spot. And what we're going to do, I just thought about this while you were talking right there. So what this team needs, we're going to go not every position, but I'm going to ask you to give me one of three answers. Draft,
okay.
Free agency, or no need at all. So we're just going to – I'm going to
I think they're I'm going to say no need at all. I like Josh Dobbs. You know, I think when you have a Big Ben, it's kind of hard to replace him anyway. So I'm going to say no need at all.
Okay, very nice. Second, a compliment running back to James Conner.
I'm going to go with draft. I think those guys are always pretty prevalent in the draft. Like we just talked about how, you know, they're not as valuable as they used to be, but you can still find really good guys in the second, third, fourth, fifth round. I think that's been proven throughout recent history. So I'm going to go with draft.
A number one receiver.
Number one receiver. Okay. Well, those guys are, you're not going to get those guys in free agency because they're going to be franchise player, franchise tag. So I'm going to go with draft, and they're really good at finding those kind of guys. Obviously, Juju, Antonio, the list goes on. So I'm going to go with draft.
A number two receiver.
Well, you could probably find those guys in the draft too because they're very good at finding receivers. So I'm going to go with draft again.
I'm going to disagree with you on that. I think a good number two receiver, like a Tyrell Williams from the Chargers or a Dontrell Inman, who was playing with the Colts and did very well as number twos, who are free agents. They're not top-tier free agents, but they would be very solid number twos and take some pressure off for Juju, I would look at a guy like that.
Okay.
Let's go ahead with we're going to stay with receivers here. A tall receiver.
I don't know who's available. I guess you have to go with the draft because I don't really know who the tall receivers are that are available in free agency. So I would go with draft.
Okay, let's just go.
I mean, they definitely need one, I think.
A tight end?
I think there's no need. I like Jesse James. You mentioned it before. The combined, it's a really good tandem. I like Vance McDonald a lot, and I like Jesse James a lot. So I'm going to say no need.
I agree with you on that. They just have to re-sign Jesse James, and I don't think that will be hard.
Me either.
This is a union that wants to stay together on both sides of the ball. Offensive line.
Well, Ramon is probably going to be gone, but they have Finney's a great backup, and he's going to step right in and be the starter. So I'm going to say no need. Yeah, but he's not going to command much, though, I don't think. So I think they're going to be able to retain his services for sure.
Okay. And Foster is another free agent that would need to retain also if they decide to do that.
Right.
Go to the defensive side of the ball. We're not going to go every position here, but let's go ahead to inside linebacker, and we know there's a need there, so I'm only giving you two choices here because we know no need is not on the books here.
Well, I read your article about cornerbacks, and I think cornerbacks are definitely more plentiful in free agency. So I'm going to say, just from what I've read about the scarcity at inside linebacker, I'm going to go with draft. You probably have to draft somebody at that position.
You'd be surprised. Wednesday is my inside linebacker market draft, and I thought the quarterbacks were pretty weak. Inside linebackers, there's two very good restricted free agents that you'd have to give up a pick for. If you watched the Super Bowl, I know you did. You just did a fantastic article on defense in that Super Bowl. Torrey Littleton of the Rams in the playoffs alone was just fantastic.
Yeah.
He's a restricted free agent, and he's a guy that could really make a splash as far as I'm concerned. Some people are poo-pooing this, but if you can get a guy like C.J. Mosley, but he's not a restricted free agent. The Ravens, all of their linebackers are – it seems like every one of their linebackers are could go. And I can't pronounce his name, Patrick Onwusor or Onwusor, but he was pretty much one of their best defensive players last year. He's another inside linebacker. He's a restricted free agent. He's something that I think a lot of players would go, a guy a lot of people would think about. And then with that being said, there's even though this guy's an outside linebacker, T. Sizzle's contract is up as well. So lots of free agents for the Baltimore Ravens. So, but you're still saying draft, correct?
Yeah, I think that's, judging by what they normally do, I think it'd be easier for them to find a good number two cornerback in free agency than it would be to find a top flight guy like a C.J. Mosley, who would be the same age relatively as a Shazier. I think they were drafted the same year, so he's probably going to want
two picks apart.
Yeah, so
15 and 17. I believe the offensive lineman, one of the offensive linemen for the Cowboys, was it Taylor? I'm not sure, but one of the Cowboys offensive linemen went in between. In fact, the Cowboys were really wanting Shazier, actually. and would have taken them. So, taken him at that point, and they didn't go Mosley, and they went offensive lineman for like the third year in a row, I think, in that draft. You've already answered quarterback. You think they could answer the question for quarterback in the free agency? So it sounds like you want their number one pick to be an inside linebacker. One more, safety.
Okay. Safety. That's interesting because obviously Sean Davis is the free safety, and Morgan Burnett has asked to be let out of his contract. And if he is, what do you do with Terrell Edmonds? I mean, he's your number one pick from 2018. Do you just throw him right in there, or do you trust him to be a starter in the second year? I don't know. I'm going to say you could probably find a guy early in the draft. Maybe you get somebody in the third or fourth round. I'm going to go with draft.
So I tell you what, I'm going to go against you on that one, and the only reason I'm going to go against you on that one, wow, all I can say is wow. The top five or six options at safety in free agency, actually really, really good. Of course, Earl Thomas, I don't expect him to go there, but
no.
some really, I don't want to call dude sexy, but some really, really sexy options here for teams when you're taking a look at just let me give you the top five. Landon Collins, love him.
I love him too, yeah.
Honey Badger is there. Adrian Amos is there. Ha-ha Clinton Dix is there. And that's just the top five. Landon Collins I would take in a heartbeat. I don't know if the Giants are going to offer him a big
player.
Deal, but
yeah.
But safety right now, wow. I mean, the guys are out there. Number one last year was Morgan Burnett. He was my number one ranked one. I had no clue he'd be coming to Pittsburgh, but he did. So
yeah.
Let's get back to it. Once again, you're saying that the window is not closed in Pittsburgh, and there's plenty of it sounds like you have plenty of ways to reopen it, correct?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, if you have the quarterback, I mean, anything's possible. And I think Ben showed last year that he's not done yet. I mean, he still has a lot left. I mean, obviously, he might not have Antonio Brown, which might cramp his style, but he's going to have his talent is still going to be there. So, yeah, I think as long as you have him, you have a chance. So, no, I don't think it's closed yet.
Well, very well. Tony, thanks as always. We appreciate your contributions here to The Hangover.
Oh, thank you. It was actually a really fun show. I had a good time. It was fun talking to you, and I can't wait to talk to you again next week.
You know, this show, we call it The Hangover, but this feels like two buddies hanging out in a bar to The Hangover. So I really enjoy it as well. For Behind the Steel Curtain, for all of your Pittsburgh Steelers news, needs, everything you want. It is there. 10 articles debuting every single day. It's fantastic. Also, the mental styling of my good friend Anthony DeFio as well. And I throw in nonsense every once in a while, too. With that being
great
said,
stuff.
For Tony DeFio, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I have my own weird style that doesn't play everywhere, but at least Tony's a fan, and I appreciate that. So, with that being said, for Tony DeFio, my name is Brian Anthony Davis from Behind the Stone Curtain. That's both of us. You, our friends, have just been hungover. Good night.
At GCU, earning your MBA degree online comes with the college experience. To advance your career in business, it takes support from those around you. Our online class size averages less than 25 students with highly skilled faculty. GCU's Colangelo College of Business offers online MBA programs in real-world emphasis, including accounting, leadership, marketing, sports business, and more. Find your purpose at GCU. Visit gcu.edu/MBA. Information about graduation rates and median debt from students completing the program is available at gcu.edu/disclosures.